How y'all doing? Good. Glad to hear that. It's a pretty day, right? Pretty weekend, too. It's not cold and rainy. I don't know. I like cold weather, but the more I'm here, it's like I get cold when it's like 55. But you know, right? And it's just funny that way. If I hadn't got a chance to meet you, my name's Tyler. I'm one of the pastors here. Glad that you are with us. And just to say, just as a reminder, I know it's still a crazy world we live in, and we know we have several people out for lots of reasons, so just keep checking on your people. We want to keep reminding them that we know that they're not here and that we pray for them and that we meet their needs. And so I just want to remind you to do that as we try to do the best we can as a church family. So this morning, and the band just referenced it, it's a Gospel Sunday. We just thought something new to do is to just remind ourselves on a regular basis of just the good news. We usually are in a series, but it's good to pause as we transition from our vision series the last 3 weeks to just remind ourselves of the good news of Jesus. Who needs reminders of good news these days, right? I do. I do for sure. And so that's what we're doing this morning. And before I do that, I just want to talk a little bit about just some things that we're doing in the background. Of course, we know we've come out of a season, a transition, and we're walking into the deep end for Crossroads for the year 2022. And I just want to talk about four core values just briefly before I get to our text this morning. Four core values that I think explain why we do what we do. And that's what we want to do. And that's what all values are, is they describe how we do the things that we do. And number one is just intentionality. We want to be intentional in focusing on who God has made us to be, not just focusing on what God has asked us to do. Now, wait a minute. I know you're thinking like, well, hold on a second. Like, those seem radically opposed to each other. And they are if we get it out of order. They are if we get it out of order. And the reality is this. You and I have been made specifically for a purpose. And so while it's easy for the doers in the room like myself to be laser focused on doing what I'm supposed to do, sometimes I forget being who God's made me to be. Right, and that's part of the beauty of the gospel this morning is that we're going to be reminded of that we are people who have been rescued from ourselves, right? We've been rescued from ourselves. And so if we always start there first, if we are always reminded of that we've been rescued from ourselves, that we are being who God has made us to be, then we'll always do what God's asked us to do. And that comes with identity and purpose. We've talked a little bit about that the last couple of weeks. Number two, togetherness. We want to love God and others because it models how Jesus lived. It's really simple. We want to love God and others because it modeled how Jesus lived. Jesus loved God. He was the Son. The Father had sent him. But he also loved people really well. So we don't want to forget those two components. We've got to love God, but we've also got to love each other. And so that's togetherness. So intentionality together. So number three, just two more. We want to grow spiritually. Growth. We want to grow spiritually in the gospel because healthy things grow. I was reading this yesterday. And I thought it was really good. There's a difference between being healthy and fit, right? Have you ever thought about that? Like there's a thing, it's health, and I don't know if I'm a picture of health. I don't know if I'm a picture of fitness either, but whatever, right? I'm just saying healthy things are healthy, but fit things are fit. And so to grow is because we're healthy, but we become stronger. And we want to do that in our knowledge of the gospel because it's the gospel of which we live and enjoy a relationship with the Father. So we want to grow because healthy things grow. Agreed? Makes sense. And then finally, number four, and I love this one, generosity. We want to be generous with our time and resources because Jesus was. We want to be generous with our time and resources because Jesus was, because he didn't withhold anything. And talk about countercultural. Talk about living in a world that withholds and tries to hold on to everything it has while it can. What if we instead live our lives with such generosity? You hear this, the term thrown around a lot, but it's generosity. That's what really stands apart from the culture, I think. Instead of let me hold it on, let me just palms up, just kind of give myself away. And so if you think about it, all those things, like we can't really do any of them without doing all of them. And there again, see how subtle it is? I'm focused on, well, if we do these things, then it really does come back to being, understanding who you are in Jesus and our identity and purpose. So we'll talk more about those. The things that we're going to be doing this year is going to be on those things. So I hope intentionality together in this growth, generosity, if that landed somewhere with you, like come let me know today or at the end of the sermon or in the weeks ahead, because that really is going to be governing how we do what we do moving forward. Those all fit? Those all make sense? We've probably left something out, but, you know, four sounded better than five. So there you go, for simplicity's sake. All right, okay. So, as I said, it's Gospel Sunday, and we're going to be in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. So if you want to put your thumb there, Ephesians 2, chapter 1 through 10. And as I was thinking through this sermon, of just reminding us of the good news of Jesus, I was thinking of something that Paul's talking about, but we are all experiencing and have experienced. And so, you know, our world radically changed in March of 2020. And no matter where you stand on the debate, whether you're like, oh, it's a real thing or it's not, notice I'm charting a path right down the middle here, right? Whether you like masks are good or not, and I can't believe I just said that. You know what I mean? But like, there's all the things that are divisive about where we are as a people and as a culture these days. But here's the thing. No matter where you stand on any of that, we could all agree that things changed. Agreed? Can we all at least get there? Like, that's maybe our happy place right now this morning, that things have changed. You know, like, sports leagues canceled. Remember, like, there was no baseball for a while? Toilet paper was being sold for the hundreds. Remember, like people were selling their backlog on Amazon and on eBay, which was really funny. Students and teachers were disrupted. Like, we have teachers in the room. Like, that radically changed. Like, we got separated from our friends and family, especially some of our family members who don't have the health to be around people. Like, all of that changed. And so we ask questions all the time, either consciously or unconsciously. And I want to make the unconscious questions more conscious this morning. And here's the thing, like, it is like we had a COVID run in my house over Christmas for the second Christmas in a row. And so the question always is like, are we good? Are we okay? Are our kids okay? Like, and that's the question, am I good? Are we okay? Is my family okay? All that's kind of running around subconsciously in our minds and in our world. And perhaps the most important thing is what we're asking behind that is, when are things going back to normal? Like we all talk about, is this the new normal? Is it going back? Is it not going back? Or better yet, when are things going back to the way that they were? I think that's the question. That's the question that is on, that rules all the other questions. I think about Lord of the Rings, right? And there's one ring to rule them all. That's the question this morning. When are things going back to the way that they were? Whether it's normal or abnormal or whatever. And this is the question. When are things going back? And if you've noticed, humans preoccupy themselves with the way things were. I do it. You ever do it? And you have. If you're like, remember that vacation we had? Remember that vacation? It was awesome. Like, all the food was great. We had a great time. Or that important year where things changed for the better as I was growing up. You know, remember when I had hair? Like, I mean, like, we always remember when things were different. We're hardwired for that. I was stronger. I used to run faster. Now I do that in the middle of the night, right, to the bathroom. Like, that's all the things, you know? If you've ever noticed, like, we're always like, ah, I remember when I didn't do this, or I used to do this, right? And there's a reason why humans long for, and as I'm going to call it, the before. There's a reasons why you and I long for the before, and the Apostle Paul is asking the same question and asking similar questions and making similar statements to the church at Ephesus, and it's interesting to me. Now, this is what I think is interesting. If you were like, you know, I don't know where you stand on the Bible, if you're like, yeah, it's for me, or no, it's not, or it's got some good stuff to it. It's interesting to me that the Apostle Paul is talking to a people gathered together in Jesus' name, just like we are this morning, that lived 2,000 years ago, and he's talking about the same daggone things that we're talking about this morning. Like, nothing's changed, but everything's changed, but nothing's really changed. Because humans preoccupy themselves with how are we going to get back to what it was before. And the reason that matters is because we're wanting things to return to the pre-March 2020, right? Like, it's the way in which we could look at our time this morning, but it matters even more because you and I are hardwired. We're hardwired. Like, when you think about identity and purpose, part of us in an original creation is that we were designed to be in relationship with God the Father. And the reason we look back to things fondly is because things aren't the way that they were originally intended to be for humans. If you know the story, we're looking back to try to reclaim something that has been lost. And that's where Paul steps into our passage this morning to remind us of the good news that while you and I can't take hold of what's been lost, Jesus very tangibly is saying, here it is. Here it is. So again, it's going to be on the board behind me if you want to read along with me, Ephesians 2, chapter 1 through 10. I just want to read this very quickly over us, and then we're going to look at the passage this morning in three parts. And Paul, and if you're not familiar with Paul, Paul throws fastballs all the time. That's why I like him. He throws heat all the time. And so he just starts off very simply, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived. This is inclusivity I don't know if I want to be a part of, but we all are. In the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, we're going to spend time right there. But God, rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you've been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you've been saved. By the way, whenever the author keeps saying something over and over and over, like it doesn't take a seminary degree to figure out what he wants us to walk away from the passage. Like it just doesn't. Like you don't need to read Greek. You don't need to have Bible software. Paul obviously is talking to the church at Ephesus, reminding them that it is by grace that they have been saved. So, for by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Love this passage. Paul has a couple of gospel presentations. This is one, it really goes after the heart, so we're going to talk about the heart this morning. There's another one in Romans as well. And as I said, we're going to look at three parts. The part one is this verses 1 through 3. And if you're like me, I'm like, ooh, the grade card's not good, right? The first three verses of the passage are pretty hard to hear. And they are. Like, it's offensive to me, and I love Jesus. And I still read that. I'm like, oh, that's me all over the place. That's me all over the place. But I want to remind you, like, don't skip over. If there's any truth in this passage for any of us this morning, the whole thing has to be true. Has to be true. And so the first three verses are the reasons why humans in particular are always looking toward the past to somehow recover something that was lost in the Garden of Eden in Genesis, if you know the story. So just be reminded of the truth. All of us are born, as Paul was saying, physically alive but spiritually dead. We are born physically alive but spiritually dead, and this is the duality at which the world lives that we find ourselves in this morning. A world that's somehow alive, but yet not fully alive. A world that's not fully alive. Alive, but not fully alive. Dead, but not fully dead. And it presents five realities I want to look at for just the first part of this passage this morning. First, the tension in the first three verses of Ephesians, it's our natural state. Like, if you're honest with yourself, I don't know where you are, if you know the Lord as your as Savior, or it's been a while, like, it's our natural state. Like, I think about my own life when I was not walking with the Lord, and I'm like, yeah, it's kind of true. Like, I was dead. I was dead in trespasses. It's true. It's true. And I know, like, that's a hard thing to swallow sometimes when we really work really hard to be good people, but that's not what it's about. It's not about being good. It's about being His. It's about being His. Number two, because of this natural state, we are in active rebellion against God and His purposes. That's the hard one. That's for the doer in me, that's the hard one to hear. Because, like, I try to actually be nice and kind and generous to people, but apart from God, like, I'm in rebellion. This means I'm not for the things that He's for. That's why Paul uses the word trespass. Our sins, the way that we're born, are trespasses against Him. They go against his nature. And I was thinking, like, it's illegal to trespass, right? We understand this word, like, there says no trespassing or beware a dog, right? It's illegal to trespass or inhabit an area that is not ours. Everybody been to the Guadalupe? It's in Central Texas? Maybe? It's cold, right? They stock it with trout. It's where I lived in Austin for 6 years before we got here, and we would go fly fishing there quite a bit, me and a friend. I remember we were on this part of the river, and like river's ankle deep or so, a little run, and like I needed to change something, and I was closer to this side of the river than the other, and I was about to step up, and so I could readjust and retie one of my fishing boots, and he was like, yeah, I wouldn't do that if I were you. What do you mean? He goes, well, that's someone's property, and you know, around here, people shoot at you for that stuff, right? And I was like, well, what? Well, there's no sign posted. He goes, yeah, but it's still their property. So you might want to keep your behind in the river, is what he said, right? And so I had to trudge all the way across. Like, we understand, like, I can't stand on the bank because it's private property, and that's what sin does. It causes you and me to inhabit something that God never intended, a land that God never intended. And it's because God, in his holiness, can't be around something that's not holy. So it begs the question, well, how do we become holy? How do we become holy? And all that means is not like self-righteous. When we hear the word holy now, we think, well, you just think you're better than everybody else. Far from it. That's not what it means. It means to be able to stand in the presence of a holy God. That's it. Has nothing to do with us. Has everything to do with Jesus. And I hate that because that's what sin does. It causes us to live in a way or in a manner or in a place that we're never intended to live. That's why the Adam and Eve were expelled from the garden. That was their home. They were supposed to inhabit that place where they had a physical, direct relationship with God. Remember God walking around with them? Hey, where are you? That whole thing? Like, that's where they were supposed to be. We're supposed to be in that kind of relationship with God. And sin causes that to be something else. Number three, the third reality, if we're not under God's rule, as Paul would say, whose rule are we under? It's really simple. And you see that in the text in verse 2, the prince, the power of the air. And in scripture language, that's just another word for Satan or the devil. So if we're not under God's rule, then we're under someone else's. We can't be both. Can't live in two places, right? Either I'm in the river or I'm on the bank. Can't live in two places. And so the question is, what kind of rule does Satan want? What kind of rule does God want? Paul says this in Romans 12. He says, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That word conformed, the Greek there is schematizo. It means schematic. That's where we get our word schematic from. And so the question is, well, what schematic am I following? Is it God's or the world's? And is there a difference? And should there be? Right? And I think God's schematic is simply like we live our lives in a way where we're more concerned about others' needs than our own. Pretty simple. Like if we're going to be a doers, let's do that. Like that's great. But Satan would say, no, you've got to be self-protective and you've got to hold on to everything because you never know when you're going to need it. When Jesus says, you know, I've given you everything that you need. And here's the thing, we can't follow both God and Satan because they're going in two completely different directions. They're opposites of each other, complete opposites. You know, Dee and I in 05, wait, were we married in 05? I guess it wasn't 05. I think it was 06. 06, there you go. Don't tell her I messed that up. But anyway, we went to New York with some friends. It was during Memorial Day. The fleet was in, so it's Fleet Week. So you've got all this military personnel running all over the island. It's a lot of fun. The Red Sox were playing the Yankees, and we wanted to see a game. Well, I say we. I wanted to see a game in Yankee Stadium before they tore it down. I'd seen the Sox play the Yankees at Fenway. I wanted to return the favor, and it was really funny. Like, we got off the platform, and we had our little Red Sox hats on, and we were called everything in the book by a lot of different people. It was really funny. He was like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, I know, right? Even the cops were giving us a hard time. Like, we were walking down the tunnel to our seats, and the cop with a gun on his hip was like, hey, you can't be here. And I'm like, whoa, hold on. He's got a gun. I'm just going to listen to what he has to say, you know? And he was like, it's okay. Just keep going. And I'm like, thanks, jerk. You know what I mean? But then, like, you can't say that to him because he's got a baton in one hand and a gun on the other side. You know, it's a You learn to listen to people who have bad, you know, anyway, whatever. So there you go. And so here's what we learned. So we spent a week in New York City. We got the little pass where we could punch the ticket in the subway that was good for like 7 days, because who wants to count change, and that's not good in New York and all that thing. And the green, you know, so we had to take the green line north of where we were staying in lower Manhattan. Well, here's the thing. Depending on what side of the street you're on, that determines which direction you go. But it's the same line. Wait a minute. It's still the 3 green line. I want to go north. Yeah, but you can't go north on this side of the street. You've got to go up over the street and come back down to get to the right side. It's the same way with following God or Satan. We can't get to where we want to go by following one. We can't follow both. Right? By the way, Dee's really going to be mad at me, but I'll say it anyway. She had some kind of allergic reaction the night before we left, and so we took her to the ER. I know it sounds like really worse than it is, but it wasn't. She just got like a rash and kind of got splotchy and red. And so we're taking off from Atlanta, and she's like, "Are you sure you want to go?" She's like, "Yeah, let's just go. I'll be fine." And so she just kind of like, she was sunburnt on her arms. We're taking off from Atlanta to get to New York, and she has like a kind of a little wheezy attack. And I'm like, "We're taking off, and like, are you breathing right now, or are you just like itching? Like, I can't tell." And it was kind of scary. And but she's still here, and we're alive, and so am I. So there you go. Anyway, so it is what it is. Number 4. Okay, I digress. My apologies. We cannot change our circumstances for ourselves, because if we could, we would have never allowed it to happen in the first place. This is not hindsight 2020. Like, we are literally out of control in this regard, because if we were in control, we would never be separated from God the way that we are. Never. We just wouldn't. And number 5, you and I are exposed, as verse 3 would call us, children of wrath, to a just God that has to reconcile anything that and punish anything that is less than holy. Like, God can't be around, I said this earlier, God can't be around something that's not been sanctified or being sanctified. And you're like, well, how is he a loving God? Well, because his love and his mercy isn't counteracted by his justice. Like, they're perfectly coexistent with each other. But thank God that there's another part to the story. So part 2, and I love this, verse 4, it just says, but God. So just think all the things we just talked about, the first 3 verses, and in verse 4, very declaratively, Paul says, but God being rich in mercy. But God, that he didn't want to leave you and me in that state. And I love that, because there's a lot of times where I'm walking my walk and it's not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. And if you ever like kicked yourself for something that you knew you shouldn't have done, or that you shouldn't have thought, or I wish I would just move on from this whole thing. But God being rich in mercy doesn't require us to move on from anything. He doesn't require us to move on from anything. He just asks us to trust him. And so instead of, and here's what humans do, right? And again, I'm a doer, so I'm speaking to myself here, is I take whatever little coins I have and bring them to him and think, God, will you accept me because of my coins? And he goes, hold on a second. I've got all the riches in all the world for all of history. Your coins aren't good here. Your coins aren't good here. God is the highest of all things, meaning his richness is unlimited in what it can pay for. His richness is unlimited in what it can pay for, and so there is no bill or tab that he won't cover or pick up. There's no bill or tab that he won't cover or pick up. And I love this. How does he redirect his richness? Like, there's a lesson here. Talk about generosity, right? We want to live our lives. We want to be generous with our treasure and our time and our resources, because it models the way that Jesus lived. I think I just messed up that value. They're supposed to be a little more memorable than that. But whatever, right? That this is why. Because when God redirects his mercy, he redirects it towards people. What do we do? What do we do with our riches? We usually just buy stuff to try to cover up and make it a Band-Aid. Right? But God's riches is redirected toward people because of that mercy, and there's hope. There's hope. That's the kind of church we want to be. We want to live our church life in such a way that it provides a place and gives hope to those who maybe are a little low in the moment. Doesn't that sound like the place to be? Like, that sounds like the place to be. Live our life and be a church in such a way that is welcoming and receiving and loves people and serves. Not because we have it all together, because we don't have it all together, right? And we do it in such a way that it provides hope. Not hope in us, like, gosh, please do not put hope in me because I'm going to fail you every second of every day and two times on Sunday. But because of God's hope. God's hope. In verse 5, even though you and I are dead in our trespasses, as soon as we crossed over into that state of being that we were not intended to be, we died spiritually. But God has made us alive in Christ, and by grace, you and I have been saved. We don't have to walk around in grave clothes anymore. Think about that for a second. They gave Jesus grave clothes, and where did the disciples find his clothes? Folded neatly and set aside the day he resurrected. Folded neatly. But how often do we try to I was making fun of myself earlier in the week. I had a pair of jeans that had a hole in them. I like those jeans. They're comfortable, and they got caught on a corner, and so it ripped from like the top of the knee to like the top of the shin. It was pretty embarrassing, right? How often do we walk around in grave clothes that we are not supposed to walk around in anymore? And instead of a torn, dirty grave clothes, he gives us something shiny and new to live because of what he's done. And that's what he thinks of us. God has made us alive in Christ, and by grace we've been saved. And so just grace, I know you're like, well, what is, grace is a name, what does it mean? It simply means unmerited favor. So even though humanity has trespassed, God being rich in mercy has bestowed favor on us and does not hold us accountable for the spiritual death we were all born into. It's unmerited favor. And the idea is like to wipe away, as I said, God will in his riches, in his richness will cover every tab and every bill. It's like he wipes away the debt that is owed. You ever had someone pay for your meal or your coffee or through the drive-thru line? Has anybody ever experienced that? Have you ever done that for someone? Like, that's never happened to me, but like, I would imagine, like, oh my gosh, like, it's the craziest gift ever because, like, that person doesn't even know me, but yet they bought something for me just to say, hey, I'm glad I know you're here. I just want to bless you, right? Here's the beauty of how God blesses you and I. He knows us and still does it. He knows this, and he does it because he knows that what's best for us, and that it unleashes our potential to be in the kingdom. Like here, it's just like, well, thanks, you bought my coffee, I appreciate that, and it feels really good. All the potential that gets untapped in Christ is amazing, and so it's in Christ. It's only in Christ that we can take a hold of the grace that Paul is talking about. It's only in Christ. And so, like, if there's any other thing that we're trying to live our lives by, it'll fall woefully short because it's a lesser God. And anything we live our lives by is a God. It just depends on where we put Jesus in the middle of all that. And I love that. Just that in his mercy, you and I are received. That, talk about, like, just being received. Like, you don't have to worry anymore. You don't have to cover up. You don't have to like, well, here, let me put my best foot forward. Maybe I don't want to offend anybody. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. Like, imagine we are a church where we have that kind of community where we're received. And in grace and mercy, even though there's things that are a conflict, that we kind of keep moving toward the goal of Jesus. Verse 6, we'll read it again just real quick. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Just like Jesus was raised from death to life on Easter, you and I have been resurrected spiritually and are being resurrected every day. I get like this world, like I run, so I run because I like it, because I'm weird, but that's okay, right? But like I get like there's a lot of things that we could do to help ourselves be better. Like that's kind of a narrative in our culture these days, like self-actualization or you be you. And, you know, and it's the, well, you know, you be the change you want to see in the world. And, you know, like you live your truth and like all that stuff, right? It all sounds good. But again, it's woefully short. It's the, but think of any, I can't think of anything else where we actually are good. It's not something that's fleeting. You know, it's not something that's promised. It's like, I can't promise you that because I need it. But actually taking hold of it that we are being resurrected every day anew in Jesus and being made more like him. That's freedom. Talk about being free from the hamster wheel of self-perfection. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Like that's where I want. That's what I want. And that we're resurrected. That's where true freedom comes. We're free to no longer live for our own gain, as verse 7 would say, but instead reflect the goodness of God in a world that most certainly needs it. That certainly, most certainly needs it. Talk about being free to live for the good of others because we're good. And instead of having to figure out what we need to do what we need, we can just figure out what we need to do because God has given us everything in Jesus Christ. And to reflect the goodness, to reflect the goodness of God in a world that certainly needs it. That's what how light shines in the darkness. It's through us. Not because of us, but we get to be a part of that. We reflect. We're mirrors. We're mirrors. Part three. We good? Kinda, sorta, kinda? Okay. I don't believe you. But anyway, it's fine. For by grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. It's unmerited favor of grace. We just talked about that. We're no longer responsible. It is through faith. There is no amount of works that you could do, no amount of works that I could do. I can't write, you know, I can't somehow balance the accounting table of, okay, I did this much good. And as long as I did this much good and this much bad, then I'm good. Like it has nothing to do with that. It only comes through faith. And not faith in yourself, by the way. Like, if you put faith in yourself, like, you're going to let yourself down. Like, who's ever put a New Year's resolution into practice? I mean, come on, you know? There's a reason why those things exist every year. Because we stop, and we let them down. But God is not a God of New Year's resolutions. It's like, it's final. It's done. It's done. And faith is meaning that we are pledging our lives to a belief in something that we can't see. We don't have the benefit of seeing Jesus resurrected. We only have to believe and believe that God could do such a thing. So like no matter where you are in life, whether things are good or bad or you have everything you want or maybe we want the world to return back to whatever the normal is of 2020 we were talking about a little bit ago, like no matter where you are in faith, we can approach every day because we know that God is going to move us to where he wants us to be. And we don't have to make it work on our own. And that's the thing. I don't know if you're like me, but it's the what God, the more I walk with the Lord, the more he shows me is this, is that when I'm in times of stress and trouble, either I have wrong expectations of the world or I have wrong strategies to get to them. And I'm like digging down this hole and try to get to gold that I don't need. Gold's here. It's not down underneath the ground anymore. It's been raised. It's in here. And I'm like trying to figure out what's this next thing that's going to give me what I need. And I'm like, well, I hit a dead end. Let me move over from the motive now to the strategy. And here, let me do all these things that I think are going to make me happy. Right? Think I'm going to make me happy. And then those are fleeting because this world is fleeting. But yet, in faith, I pledge my life to Jesus who's eternal and who is alive and who is making me alive. And all it requires is just belief. Faith cannot be attained by earning. It's why we say intentionality. Instead of focusing on just what God asks us to do, we want to focus on being who God has made us to be. And if you are in Jesus, you have been made. We've all been hardwired to be in relationship with him. And the only way we're in relationship with Him is through Jesus Christ. Can't be earned. Can't work it. Can't figure it out. Can't back our way or into the equation. Like, it doesn't work. It's just through belief. Verse 10, almost done. How do we reflect God's goodness in verse 7? So we looked at this last week in our vision series. Like, we've all been created with an identity and a purpose and a gift set. Last week, we spent 3 weeks in 22. God's calling Crossroads to the deep end. I think the running joke is like, get my shins wet today. Well, it's not my job. That's your job. But anyway, but you know what I mean? Like, it's become a running joke already, which I guess is a good thing. But here's the thing. We are all created for a purpose. We all have a purpose. We all have a gift set. And part of that purpose is to reflect God's goodness. Reflect God's goodness. Those of us in Christ Jesus have been remade and are being remade, and that we are being crafted on a daily basis for good works. I love that because it takes, God is so big, it takes each of our individual talents and characteristics and can use them no matter where we are. Whether you've been with Him for a long time or you never have, or it's been a minute, He could take us wherever we are. Have you noticed how bespoke has become a thing? Anybody know that word? Someone raise their hand so that I'm not crazy. All right, we got a few people. Bespoke. It's all it means is custom. Like, but like, if you want to charge like a lot of dollars for a shirt or a hat, it's a bespoke hat or a bespoke piece of furniture, right? That's the thing. It's a thing nowadays to buy something that's not made for the masses. You want to find a diamond in the rough. That's what bespoke is, right? Want to find a diamond in the rough that has all these imperfections and it's just for me. I can't go buy it at Target or wherever else you shop, right? It's a one of a kind. Do you know God is the highest form of a bespoke designer, and that you and I in Christ Jesus are made to reflect His goodness uniquely that God has prepared beforehand? Like, talk about a diamond in the rough. Do you know we're all diamonds in the rough? And as we live our lives, He is polishing and polishing us. And then He'll turn the facet, right? And He'll turn us and He'll go, okay, hey, let me polish this little piece. Oh, wait, here's that piece. Do you trust me? Like, do you trust me? Here, let me just rub this little edge off. And then He'll use the relationships in our lives, like, to help us walk that road, right? We are His workmanship, not our workmanship. And that's the thing I think we have to remember. We're not our personal workmanship. We are His workmanship, as the scripture says. I think the band's going to come back up as we wrap up. But imagine a world where we're His workmanship, not our own, and we say, you know what, God, for this season today, and maybe the days beyond, like, I want to allow you, like, he really needs us to say that. But I'm just saying, right, like, this is in faith that we're doing this. I want to allow you to use me in whatever way that you want. Help me understand who you've made me to be, and then use me however you want as your workmanship, God, not my own. And imagine a world where we each get to reflect God's goodness. Imagine that world where we are. Now imagine the world where we are each responsible for reflecting God's goodness. And I think that's what God's doing the last 2 years. He's showing us that we have an insatiable need and desire for what was. COVID's just the reason. But He's using the physical to uncover the spiritual. We each have a deep desire spiritually to be what was, and that was to be connected with and in good standing in relationship with God. And God, in His grace, in Jesus, we don't have to reclaim the original anymore. And it's the same for the people in Ephesus, and it's the same now. And so a couple of questions I have just as we close. One, are you in a place where God doesn't want you? Are you trespassing in a place that God doesn't want you? And if so, stop. It's pretty simple. Like, okay, I don't need to be here. Let me figure out, God, will you help me figure out where I want to be? Because I've got this desire in my heart that this thing's not really scratching. It's not really scratching the itch, but I don't know what else to do. I would say, just give it to Him and say, God, where is it that you want me to be? There's freedom in that. Ask where you want me to be And then two, like maybe for some of us in the room, that maybe we haven't really believed in grace in Jesus Christ today. I don't know. There might be. Maybe not. But today's the day. Today's the day. And so I know the band's going to lead us through a worship song. And I just want to pray over us this morning as we just figure out where is it that we are, and then where's our relationship with God, and what does it look like for us to reflect His goodness in the world? Because that's the kind of church He wants us to be, where we're all reflecting in community, in relationship, bringing light to the darkness. And here's the best part. Anytime someone says, and we hear it all the time, anytime someone says, I just want things to go back. I just want things to be different. I want to be what they were. You know what you could say? Man, can I tell you my personal walk with that and how I wanted things to go back, and then God in His grace allow me to be in relationship with Him? Just say that. It's pretty simple. So let me pray. Lord, I pray, Lord, just as we sing and we respond and reflect, here's the reality of it. The reality of it is we're never where we always want to be. But with You, there's grace. And so, one, I just want to speak grace over that. I don't know what people are thinking through right now, whether they have a relationship with You or not, but there is grace. And I think You're asking us to just say yes to You. And so as we sing and are reminded that there is a new day every day in You, I pray that we would take hold of that, each of us, myself included. There's a new day in You, Jesus, and I want to be more like You today than I was yesterday. I want us to be a church where we reflect Your goodness more today than we did yesterday. And it's not because we have it all together, it's because we don't. And in that freedom, we could say, we don't. And then in our weakness, Jesus, Your strength is made perfect. So as the band sings, Holy Spirit, I ask that You would move. It's in Your name. Amen.